In particular, we're going to focus on an idea that's central to the vision of God's kingdom, and that's that creation is affected when we're unfaithful to God. So I'm going to unpack the readings a little bit to start with, and then I'm going to do the same with a term you may have heard of, something called net zero. It's become a bit of, a hot topic recently. So we're going to start with Hosea. He's probably not top of your reading list, but anyway, he was a prophet who lived in the 8th century BC. And he's famous for being told by God to marry Gomer, a woman he knew would be unfaithful to him, as a sign of the state of the relationship between God and Israel. So all the way back in Genesis 12, you might remember God makes a covenant with Abraham that Israel will be God's people and that he will be their one and only God. But we see how quickly God's people forget that when Moses spends too long up the mountain and returns to find the people worshipping a golden calf. And this story of unfaithfulness and recommitment and further unfaithfulness continues through the books of Judges and Kings. And it's during the reigns of kings Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah of Judah that the word of the Lord comes to Hosea. And the first thing I'd like you to notice from our short extract from Hosea today is that opening command, hear the word of the Lord. Because all too often God's people don't listen. Don't really like being told they're doing stuff wrong. As an example of this, there's a banner outside Disraeli School currently. It reads, "Parking on the zigzags is selfish and dangerous." There was one outside St. Michael's too when my daughters went there. And pretty much every morning, without fail, you'd find at least one car parked exactly where it wasn't supposed to be. It used to make me really cross. And you can kind of hear the excuses as well, can't you? Oh, I was late. It was raining. I was only there for 2 minutes. Other people do it. Aren't there times in all our lives when we think, well, surely it won't matter just this once? And it can be the same with green issues too. We might ask, what difference is my little contribution making when businesses and whole countries seem to do what they like? Why should I have to give up my holidays, all the things that I buy, when these big corporations don't seem to be doing very much? It requires a lot of change, and actually I do lots of stuff to help the environment anyway. Well, we're the ones who need to hear the word of the Lord today. We might not personally be committing huge acts of environmental crime, but look at how Jesus reinterprets the law in the Sermon on the Mount. And that's part of what we heard in our gospel reading. Jesus begins, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy." And the love your neighbour bit is a quotation from Leviticus 19. And throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus quotes the law of Moses. But what he goes on to say, essentially, each time, is that the law, or the current interpretation of the law, isn't enough. In this instance, Jesus asks, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? To live out the law in all its fullness, you have to go way beyond this and take the radical step of loving people who aren't your neighbours, people you don't know, people from whom you should expect nothing in return, even your enemies. In terms of planet care, this means finding out about and reflecting on our seemingly harmless lifestyle choices. We might not come to the same conclusions as Hosea, who saw a direct cause and effect between cursing, lying, murder, and the land drying up. Yet there's no denying that people we don't know are affected in ways we can barely start to realise by our demands for comfort and leisure. Last week, Ian mentioned the record high temperatures in Spain and as a place that we might not immediately think of as suffering from climate change. Interestingly, one of the examples in the book we're using for our sermon series, God's Green Book, this week, the example is of the Spanish regions of Murcia and Alicante, where the tourist industry has boomed since the 1960s, but at what environmental cost? Small villages have turned into towns with golf courses and swimming pools and hotel rooms with ensuite bathrooms. And of course, this has transformed the economy. But according to UNESCO, tourists use up to 7 times more water per capita than a local person. Just one golf course takes the same amount of water to maintain as a small town of 5,000 people. Am I suggesting you all go and cancel your holidays to Spain? Well, no, but I'm going to get us to start thinking a little bit about this concept of net zero. So, what is net zero? Well, I was chatting to Heather about this talk before I wrote it, and one of the things she recommended I do was to explain this concept because neither of us were, you know, quite sure what we were talking about. Amusingly, an hour or two after we'd had this conversation, the monthly Care for Creation email came through from the Diocese of Oxford. And it was headed, Net Zero, what does it all mean? So that was handy, wasn't it? Ian talked last week with his geography hat on about climate change being caused by greenhouse gases. So to get net zero basically means balancing the amount of greenhouse gases we put into the atmosphere and the amount we take out so that we're not increasing the total. To get to net zero, we need to reduce the emissions we're responsible for as much as we can and then offset or balance out the remainder. And both the National Church and Oxford Diocese have set net zero targets for churches to work towards. But we can do this, we can think about this individually too, and we can use something that's called a carbon footprint tool. There are a couple of websites I've put up here where you can actually do that in a more detailed way, but actually what we need to do really is think about 3 main areas that contribute towards our carbon footprint. So that's heating and powering our homes, our consumption of food, clothes, tech, etc., and travel. In the Green Book, there's a short set of questions on these 3 areas. I'm going to attempt to send these out to as many people as I can this week, just so you can get a feel for it. We can, using these questions, we can begin to gauge our impact and consider what we might do to improve our carbon footprints. There are lots of possibilities here, and I'm sure you're all doing some of these already. Low energy light bulbs, high efficiency energy, the A star rating or whatever on your appliances. You can reduce your consumption of meat and dairy and try to rely less on the car, though I do acknowledge that for older people in a hilly area, this is more difficult. If you don't want to be fully vegan yet, I'm not standing here as a going to broadcast that. I did Veganuary in January. And it really is quite demanding on your cooking, is what I'm saying. There's the option of meat-free Mondays. I don't know if any of you do that. Maybe ask yourself whether that garment you wore once needs to go in the washing machine or whether it could be aired instead. Did you know that Sainsbury's has a scheme to recycle single-use plastics, like crisp packets and chocolate wrappers? Could you buy less of these to start with? Just a few ideas, anyway, to get us thinking. We can't do everything at once, of course, and there's no minimum or maximum level of improvement. Okay, so that's a few of the practicalities, and I hope a bit of the biblical basis for thinking about some of those practicalities. What I'd like to do, though, today is finish with an act of repentance for the times when we've made choices, thoughtlessly or otherwise, that haven't reflected God's love for our whole planet. So, thankfully, because the slides are working, it's all going to appear on the screen. I'm going to say the first bit or the bit on the left, and then if you respond with a bit underneath or the bit on the right, depends how I've set the slide up, your bits should be in bold. Okay. Hear the word of the Lord, who has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. Open our eyes to see when we do not acknowledge you. There is lying and murder because of our desire for gold and jewels. Show us when our choices do not acknowledge you. We steal clean drinking water because of our desire for comfortable tourism. Show us when our choices do not acknowledge you. Eagles feed their young plastic bags because of our desire for throwaway convenience. Show us when our choices do not acknowledge you. The rainforest burns because of our desire for cheap beef. Show us when our choices do not acknowledge you. You ask us to mourn with those who mourn. The land mourns. Help us to see and to care more deeply. Move us, Lord, to be faithful to you and to the world you have made. Move us, Lord, to love you and to love the world you have made. Amen.